Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the WTF1 podcast. Today, we're going to be chatting about the weekend's esports racing and asking the question, how do real-life racing drivers adapt to sim racing? I'm joined by Tommy Belling, of course, my... I don't want to call you a sidekick because you're more than that, Tommy. You're just
partner in crime.
Amazing.
Partner in crime.
Partner in crime. Okay. But we've got another partner in crime for this week's episode. It is none other than WTF1 OG himself, Jack Aitken. Jack, how are you?
Hey, guys. Great to be back. Love the show. Big fan.
Yeah, you're not an F2 driver and Williams F1 reserve. You're just a big fan. That's
I'm just a massive fan since day one. Oh, yeah.
Now, today, obviously, we're going to be speaking about how, you know, because a lot of people speak about, you know, normal people trying to, or gamers getting into the real life racing world. But this is more the other way around. So we're going to sort of dive into your thoughts as well, Jack, in terms of you're a real life racing driver. You're pretty quick, wouldn't you say? And also, you know, you've also dived into the virtual world, and I guess the F2 virtual GP is something that you were involved in only a couple of days ago. Well, what day is it? Tuesday. Yeah, a couple of days ago. How was that? How was your experience? I was commentating on you and not being biased at all.
Oh, it's good to hear, as always. I mean, I enjoyed it. It was not actually as much of a smash fest as I thought it was going to be, given that there was no damage. And traditionally that doesn't go well, especially in Formula 2, when we have real damage in real life cars, we still manage to crash. So I thought that would be, you know, a recipe for disaster in the sim world. But it was actually all right. Some people are just ridiculously quick, though. It's actually disgusting how quick.
Yeah, like, I mean, you were running pretty well, weren't you? You were running pretty well in P3 for a while, and then did your tyres run out, or what happened?
In which one? Race 1 or race 2?
I think it was race 1 where you were running in third for quite a while and then just kind of dropped back towards the end.
I boxed fairly early because I saw everyone in front of me boxing and I was like, I should probably box because I don't know anything about this game.
You did pretty well then. You did pretty well.
And it turned out like the rest of the field all carried on. I was like, oh, okay, great, well... So I did run out of tyres a little bit at the end, but I was kind of happy. I thought it was respectable. I was just going for a respectable performance.
Good. And it was respectable. You did a very good job, especially with WTF1 on the side of your car. Yeah. It gives me goosebumps every time I see it. Tommy, did you watch all the stuff that went on the weekend?
Yeah, I did. I was watching the F2. It's funny you mentioned that, Jack, because I very much was expecting carnage as well, but maybe it balanced each other out because I thought sim racing has been pretty chaotic and there's been lots of chaos. Formula 2 is normally just chaotic anyway, so the fact that the racing was pretty clean and there wasn't too much carnage, I was very impressed.
I thought we were all very restrained. Maybe it was the I was going to say the calming influence of having some sort of ex-Formula 2 drivers, retired Formula 2 drivers stepping in, such as we had Oliver Rowland, Norman Nato. Were there any others? I thought they brought some wisdom with their, you know, past experiences to the table. Maybe that was it.
Yes, calm the field down.
Yeah.
Now, a question from Hufflepuff_Mrs. says, do you get the same adrenaline from sim racing as you do in real life racing?
No,
Jesus. All right, thanks, Jack, for coming on the podcast. It's great to speak to you. Yeah.
Don't forget to like and subscribe, everyone. Goodbye.
Well, we're just being honest here, being straight up. No, sim racing is good for a lot of things. And I do, whilst I don't get the same thrill out of it, because you can't be traveling at that speed in real life and feeling the G-force and even like the smells, the noises, all of that stuff. You can't get that in the simulator, but I still do get massively competitive about it and I get really into it. It's just not quite the same thrill. That's all.
No, I mean, it's fair enough to say it's not the same experience, and no driver's really come out and said that, but it's quite interesting how some guys can get really, really nervous. And, you know, let's kind of move now to the Formula One virtual GP, where we had Albon and Leclerc fighting, and then they had an interview after the race. And, you know, Alex was saying that he was sweating, he was shaking and all this sort of stuff. So it was great to hear that. I guess if maybe, Jack, you were racing in the F1 virtual GP for the victory, and obviously you know that there's an audience watching and all that stuff, it can still bring out the nerves.
Definitely, yeah. I think I got nervous just racing in like the F2 esports event. So I sympathize with that a lot. It's especially because a lot of us are quite new to it as well, I think. Some drivers have been doing it a bit longer than others, but it's a new skill to learn. And I, for one, found it quite tricky when I was starting. So, yeah, I sympathize with Alex, definitely.
Do you find it harder to get into the zone and kind of concentrate a lot more? Because I can't remember which driver was talking about it, but one of the esports races I was watching, they were saying that it's a lot easier to make a mistake in sim racing because your mind can wander a lot more, because you're not you've got distractions around you. Obviously, a lot of people racing at home, they might have their family members or pets wandering in the room as they're racing and stuff.
I've had whereas in the F1, food and drink spilled on me while I'm driving and people poking me. My brother likes to put his feet up against the racing seat whilst I'm driving. Which is not like, and rest his feet there from the chair behind. It's not a pleasant experience.
It's not very immersive, that. You don't get that in F2. Where
it's hard to get into the zone of being a top flight, you know, driver performing at his absolute best when feet are hanging over your shoulder. But
yeah, that doesn't quite happen in real life.
No, I think you do get into a zone still, but I've definitely... Yeah, I find it hard. I don't get the same level of immersion. And I don't know if that's to do with not having maybe, I don't know, if you have a big wraparound screen and you've got headphones and a moving rig and all of that, maybe it helps a bit, because the F1 simulators are quite good at that now. But sitting in your living room, it's a bit more difficult, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I think for me, as a very much a more of a gamer than a real life racer, I've obviously had the opportunity to drive a few nice cars in my lifetime, but I guess for me and probably for you, Tommy, as well, I still get massively nervous playing on games, and I think with iRacing especially, maybe not so much with the F1 game, I don't know what exactly they do, but for me, I feel like, you know, my racing career is on the line when I'm on the grid for iRacing, whereas maybe for a more casual game like Codemasters game or you know, F1 2019 or even Gran Turismo Sport, stuff like that, I just don't feel the same sort of mental attachment to it. I don't know. Does that make sense, Tommy?
Yeah, we've just been started iRacing, and we were chatting, weren't we, on Discord while I was doing my very first racing. And I said to you the same, like, I was getting really nervous in the first race. And I think it's because you have that hourly race in iRacing where it does feel a lot more important, where it's not the case of you just quit out and then do another race straight away. It kind of builds up. And like you say, you do get quite nervous. One thing I feel like we should mention, actually, Jack, do you still have the hats on? Because we can't even see you.
Oh, yeah, the hats. Yeah. No, I'm suffering from lockdown hair, bad hair day, like everyone else. So this is my tactic.
Are you still wearing have you been wearing all the hats for this entire time?
Yeah. It's my, yes, my humble brag.
yeah.
Maybe I'll take them off now. I'll show the world my scalp. I haven't shaved it.
Last time you were on our podcast, you wore a race suit as well, didn't you? So we always make you wear ridiculous things.
It was, you know, suits. You said suits and ties, and I thought, you know.
Yeah. That's true. I was in a Christmas suit. But yeah, I'm not taking my hat off because my hair's too long and I can't be bothered to sort it out. Anyway, next question at Spoopy Roll says, what's the best thing about sim racing that you can't do in real racing and vice versa?
Laugh at crashes.
I mean, yeah, fair. That's very true.
Yeah.
No, there were a few good ones over the weekend, and they were absolutely humongous shunts. And obviously, if that was real life, you'd be concerned. But because it's sim racing and no one gets hurt, yay! It's different, so you can laugh a bit.
And I guess switching around, you've mentioned already the immersion in terms of the G-forces and so on, which is something that sim racing will always try to get closer and closer to with moving rigs and all that good stuff. Maybe some fans to blow some wind in your hair and stuff like that. But I guess you can never really get all the way, can you?
The best fans.
Best fans. My one fan. No, I think they're definitely getting better because even... I was saying earlier, it's difficult in your living room to get fully immersed, but I mean, we have a relatively simple setup with just a wheel, single screen, and some pedals. And even with that, I think after practicing for a couple of hours, and you get invested in you know, your, whether it's your eye rating or racing against your mates, and that actually helps to step it up and make it a little bit more real. I think the technology has come a long way, definitely.
Yeah.
One thing you can't do is bump drafting, which Albon and Leclerc did in the virtual GP. You won't get away with that in an F1 car.
Actually, on a slightly serious note, one of the other things that's really cool about sim racing is the fact that you can jump from one car to another and just try lots of different things. So
you can't do that in real life, can you?
No.
Unless you've got a huge wallet.
Yes, true. But I did the Nordschleife 24 hours like last week, which...
How many times did you crash, Jack, out of interest?
It was more than once. I mean...
More than once, less than 100.
It's 24 hours of racing. You're bound to crash more because you're racing more. I mean, I don't get what the big deal is.
Simple logic.
Personally. Yeah. Simple logic. It might have been close to 10.
Did you do your 20-minute power naps like you did when we did our 24-hour sim race?
Actually,
20 minutes? He went for 6 hours when we did the 24-hour sim race.
Is that why I haven't been invited back since?
We haven't done one since. We need reliable teammates if we're ever going to do that again. Oh yeah, we'll be back in 20 minutes and then we just have to do stints throughout the entire night because Jack's asleep in his car.
I just didn't want to take you out of the zone, Maddie, because you were ripping through the night. I was like, I'm making... the best decision for the team.
I had to plug my eyes back into my sockets after that stint. I'm mad.
It was awesome. But yeah. To be fair to me, actually, my teammates also all crashed multiple times. So that made me feel much better about myself.
Yeah, exactly.
And one of them was an F1 driver. So, you know.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Dropping that into who was it?
The one and only Esteban Gutierrez.
Oh, boom.
Nice. Yeah.
A little name drop there. I like it.
Yeah, casual. You know, we're mates. We've got each other on Discord, whatever.
So we've mentioned sim racing, obviously, quite a bit, and people doing loads of different championships and whatnot. You've been taking part in the Races All-Star Esports Battle, which we actually started talking about before we went live. How have you been finding that compared to, you know, your experiences in virtual GP and, you know, the F1 game and iRacing and all that stuff?
The Wii Other Race stuff has been interesting because I haven't done a lot of... it's on R-Factor 2 and I haven't actually done a lot on that platform before. And you get some names from like all over motorsport coming to do it. Obviously, the Legends race as well, which is pretty cool. And you have actual sim drivers racing. So they were showing us a clean pair of heels more often than not. I think it's fair to say. But yeah, it's been good fun. If a little bit difficult to get a result so far. I'm working on that.
You're working hard. I mean, to be fair, what else is there really to do at the moment? No excuse. Need to put in all the hours, don't you, to really... Because that's the thing that I guess maybe people that don't sim race so much can't really maybe get their head around is all the different platforms have a completely different way of driving. There's the small little nuances that you need to learn about each game, whether it's F1 2019 and you have to downshift really quickly and then short shift out of corners, and you know, there's things that you wouldn't do in a normal car. And then you look at maybe iRacing, and then there's completely different story because you've got different cars, different handling, handling models between the cars. So it's a huge learning curve, isn't it, between every platform? And I think even you, Tommy, can probably say that because you've started iRacing now, and it's a completely different story.
Yeah, it's very difficult to get to grips with iRacing. I was watching an interesting video about iRacing, actually, because one of the things that I saw a lot of people complaining or having debates about was that it's quite difficult to catch a slide in iRacing. And there was a very interesting video from Joseph Newgarden, who was explaining the challenges of driving an IndyCar versus iRacing and versus real life. And he was saying that in IndyCar, they can properly throw the cars around, fight the wheel, slide them into the corners. But on iRacing, they just spin off. And I think that's probably why maybe the real life racing drivers that have driven those cars in real life find it so hard to adapt. If you like, obviously in Indy, we saw Lando and Scott McLaughlin as well doing really well, who weren't full-time IndyCar drivers. And that's probably part of it, because the fact that the IndyCar drivers are trying to drive exactly like they would normally.
It's muscle memory, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think there's a misconception that an IndyCar car on iRacing is going to have some similarity, or at least some similarities to the IndyCar of real life, as a world rallycross in iRacing might have some similarities to a world rallycross car in real life. And I think it only extends to the very, very basics of the physics of those cars. All of the specifics, the things that drivers are working on in the really small details of the car and how it behaves in certain situations, none of that's going to correlate, because, you know, even a platform as big as iRacing is not going to be able to have enough data to get the car to be that accurate. So it's like stepping into a different car for these guys.
Which actually leads us on quite nicely to the next question, which was from O'Day Kim. Says, what real-world driving/racing skills, if any, are impossible to obtain on sims?
Probably the first thing that comes to mind is something that affects all sims, which is because the sim can't move. Okay, it can move a little bit, but you're missing the fundamental G-force feeling. And G-force is how drivers feel the grip in the car. When you have more G-force, that means you have more grip. And when it drops away or, you know, comes up, that's how you feel whether you're doing the right thing, the wrong thing, blah, blah, blah. And you just can't get that in a sim, full stop. I think the other thing that we've seen in sims that doesn't translate to real world as well is, although this is changing a bit, because especially recently, things like track evolution have become a lot more advanced. It's not always, you're not always being taught to be very adaptable, because in games like F1 is a good example, F1 2019 does some things really well, but at the end of the day, the guys who are quickest on that game do hundreds and hundreds of thousands of laps around Barcelona in the dry, and Barcelona in the dry is always going to be exactly the same. Whereas if you go to Barcelona on any given day in real life, it's going to be different to the previous day. Even if it was 20 degrees and sunny, it's still going to be different.
Could even be snowing.
Could be snowing, yeah. Fancy that. So as a driver, you have to go to the track every day, and even every lap, expecting the track will have changed a little bit, and you have to feel that and adapt to it.
I guess that's something that iRacing has done probably more advanced than F1, because F1's obviously more of an accessible game. They focus on the overall user experience, whereas iRacing is obviously more of the nitty-gritty stuff. And I'm not a huge hardcore user of iRacing, but I'm really getting into it, and I've noticed that they have changing track temperatures. I guess you would have seen it firsthand, Jack, with the 24 hours at the Nordschleife that you did. Did you kind of sense that there was a bit more of what you said is missing in the F1 game there?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's why I said it's improving, because iRacing do it very well, even R-Factor to an extent. It caught me out quite badly, actually, because I did all my practice in a private session, and then I went and joined the race lobby, and the lap times were 3 seconds a lap slower, and I crashed. So that's my excuse number one, yeah. Track conditions.
You've got a whole handbook.
Oh, yeah.
Racing driver's excuses still exist. I'll bring that slowly
over the course of the next half hour.
And Tommy, I guess, you know, you are more of an iRacing novice. You haven't really had too much experience in the changing of track temperatures and evolution. But Jack actually makes a really good point, which I hadn't really thought about, is that adaptability side of things, where you don't really get to test your own brain into a certain sort of braking zone or whatever to then notice, oh God, it's, you know, I should have braked 5 meters earlier because the track conditions have changed, or the marbles on the track. And I think that's a really good point, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, 100%. That never even crossed my mind that me and you, Matt, were practicing the Mazda MX-5s, weren't we, in a practice lobby.
Yama, yeah.
And my mission was obviously to get getting the 1 minute ones, which I got very close to but didn't quite make it.
You'll get there.
We'll get there. But yeah, we were obviously going in. We did it the day before, we did it yesterday. We kept practicing again and again, but realistically, if that was real life, I'd need the optimal track conditions, and, you know, maybe it gets a little bit cooler, or the day after we wouldn't be able to do those times. So yeah,
or you have to do it 40 minutes into the session because the track isn't rubbered in. Yeah, it's really interesting. So Jack, very good point. You know, you get a WTF1 sticker for that. There you go.
You can have a WTF1 cap to add to your growing list of caps.
I'll put it on my CV and send it into to William straight away.
Nice.
So if we can put it into a nutshell then, why in a series like the eSports Battle do we tend to see the sim racers a lot more competitive than the real-life racing drivers? What would be the one thing, I guess, Jack? Is it the amount of hours and just purely excelling in that skill of learning that particular handling model on that particular platform? Or is there something more simple like muscle memory for the drivers that are holding them back?
I think it's definitely number of hours is a big one, because, well, racing, us drivers haven't done as much on those platforms, and there are intricacies to learn. But I think I would ought to say it's all of that would be taking away from the sim guys a little bit as well. They do have talents that the normal drivers don't necessarily have, and one of those might be having a really, really minute detail feel for what's happening in those conditions, which are more repeatable than in the real world. So, you know, if you can be really detail orientated, it can help you in those kind of platforms. I know watching the pole lap for things like the Nürburgring 24 hours, I'm like, there's no way that I could drive that you can see that it's not just a number of hours of practice, it's they know exactly how to manipulate the car at every given moment, and they are predicting the way the car is going to move. And they've learned all of that by, you know, understanding how the platform works. So it's definitely a talent that is a little bit different to real life.
But then it also makes sense how some gamers have been able to translate that to real life. We won't, you know, talk about that, because every single person has spoken about gamers to real life races. Yeah. But yeah, you can see why it can translate. So right, let's move on now to an event that, you know, we couldn't not mention, because, well, we made a video about it. Go and check it out if you haven't seen it already. But all about the IndyCar Challenge. Now,
what happened there?
Well, Jack, you must have no internet, because
you joke.
Things kicked off.
Internet over here is a joke at the moment. Wait, but
oh, is it? Okay. Well, I'm glad you're still on the call with us. You're sorry, currently pedaling on a bike, aren't you, to keep your internet going? At Jonty's_corner says, "What's your opinion on the end of that IndyCar sim event? Give us your opinion, Jack. I want your filth, unadulterated, honest opinion."
Such controversy. Oh my God. So my opinion is mainly in agreement with what I think the general opinion is, which is that the thing that Pagano did was probably not the right thing to do. And Santino as well, bless him. But on the other hand, reading some of the Twitter comments, well, this is just Twitter, I shouldn't be surprised, but reading some of the Twitter comments, it's like he murdered someone, which maybe is a little bit out of proportion. I think we have to remember that, yes, sim racing is absolutely its own sport. It's a real thing. A lot of bucks go into it. A lot of people put a lot of time and effort into it. It is, you know, valid as a sport. It's not a joke. But all of the drivers coming across from the real world now and effectively just having a go and dipping their toes into it, people shouldn't be surprised if they're not going to take it 100% seriously. I know that I don't. I'm guilty of that as well sometimes. Not that I go out of my way to take people out and ruin their race, because that's just not good, full stop. But I don't take it as seriously as real life racing, just because that's the world I'm from. I'm not as invested in the sim racing world. So that's, you know, it's just the way it is. I'm not saying that sim racers shouldn't be so serious about it. It's just that I'm not so serious about it. And I think that's the view that a lot of racing drivers have.
I guess the difference is that you have the understanding that some things just aren't particularly on. And in one case, Pagano's move. Tommy, I'll give you the platform as well to give your opinion on what occurred and how you think everything, you know, should have gone down from then, really.
It's interesting, actually, that you mentioned that it all comes down to the way the series is presented. And it's interesting about saying a few drivers not taking it seriously. Obviously, the very first virtual GP, we had Johnny Herbert completely cutting turn one and us applauding at how hilarious it was and stuff. But that event was obviously presented in a fun celebrity race. The IndyCar from the very start, it's been seen as this professional event. It's, you know, done on iRacing. It's got the proper graphics. It's got all the sponsors. They even have people singing the national anthem in at the start and stuff. So it was, people have poured a lot of money and time into it. And I think the reason that Lando was so frustrated, and where I can see where he's coming from in terms of like why he was so annoyed by it, is the fact that he did sink so many hours into it. It wasn't a case of, well, if someone is messing about and doesn't take someone out or is messing about, that's fine and they don't do very well. But the fact that he actively took someone out who, like Lando was saying, he put so many hours into practicing that, and he even had engineers as well that took time out to get him set up for that game. So it's just not, it's so out of character for Pagano. I know you kind of jokingly mentioned about Ferrucci, maybe a little bit more expected from him, but Pagano, so unexpected. And the people that are saying, you know, Pagano, it's only a game, leave Pagano alone. I mean, Pagano was in his full race suit and gloves as well, so
yeah, he was taking it seriously. An engineer, so
yeah.
Yeah.
Who was assisting him on said actions.
Well, did you guys watch the his stream? Because I've seen a replay of it on YouTube.
Of the actual part where he starts saying about
Pagano's
take Lando out.
Yeah. Because I found it really interesting how, yeah, obviously that was really bad, and actually what made it worse for me, I don't know the guy, so I can only comment so much, but what made it bad for me was the way he just talked about Lando, because I thought Lando's move was kind of on. But then I don't know about indie racing, so maybe it wasn't, but it didn't look that bad. If anything, I thought it was Rahal that had hit him out, and he was just bad-mouthing Lando so much. And I was just like, you're broadcasting to a lot of people. You shouldn't be calling out Lando like that without at least, you know, thinking about it first. But then the really interesting thing for me was the instant regret on Pagano's face when he hit him. I don't know if you saw that, but... It was like... He kind of realized in that moment that he had seriously messed up. And I don't know if he genuinely didn't want to hit him and just wanted to slow him down, or if it was only after he'd hit him that he realized just how stupid a thing it was to do. But you could see it all over his face.
because his acting was terrible, if I'm being completely honest. Like the first couple of seconds after the contact, he was like, oh no.
I was pissing. And, okay.
But you just came out the pits, mate. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And obviously he then comes out and says, you know, I wasn't going to try and take him out. I just was wanted to ask you to win. But you don't say when you're coming out the pits, let's take Lando out. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just completely screwing yourself
on the table
over
at that point.
Yeah, exactly. You've admitted to everything. Oh, so God.
It came across really salty as well that he was saying that he wanted to slow Lando up so his teammate could win because he didn't want Lando to win.
And because he's too fast.
Yeah, and it does come across as an F1 driver has come in and he Lando's too good and we don't want an F1 driver joining.
He's like 35 years old. You'd think he'd probably have learned that trait to just kind of be a bit more humble with everything. But hey ho, clearly not. Actually, something that led on from that was obviously the Ferrucci incident with Askew, where, you know, we just kind of mentioned where he swiped him across pretty much just before the line, you know, and he came out and saying, oh, you know, it's just a game. That I'm not going to delve too hard into that because I think a lot of people know my thoughts already and the fact that you know, just it's just a game is just such a like a 90s term. You know, it's a completely different thing to what it is now in the sense that it's a completely high profile event. This IndyCar series was and you know, very different to what it's just a game would mean a few years ago, maybe. But what was your take, Jack, on this whole it's just a game? You know, it's nothing serious.
I think that's the classic troll saying, isn't it? I mean, it's not a coincidence that, for me anyway, when someone says just a game, it's usually my brother after he's beaten me at something and he wants to wind me up. So, you know, you know what you're saying when you say it's just a game. I think most 90% of the time you're doing it to wind people up. So it's absolutely not a valid response anyway. It might be just a game in your opinion, even if you're saying that truthfully and that's your honest feeling. But it's not for other people. And like we've touched on, if you put the time and effort into it, it's different.
Yeah,
tell me, what do you think?
There was actually a very ridiculous comment I saw was from James Hinch. I need to get this right. I think it's James Hinchcliffe's girlfriend or wife said that was basically her opinion was that it's just a game and everyone needs to stop losing their mind over it. And she was saying something like, in charades, people don't go on to win Oscars. It's just a game. But it's a completely invalid opinion because one, motorsport is probably the most realistic thing. I know we've had the conversation of it will never be 100% realistic, but in terms of FIFA or other games, the fact that you're sat there with a steering wheel and pedal translates really well.
Yeah.
And the whole it just goes back to the whole thing that it was being presented in a serious way where drivers are told, these are the rules, you're not allowed to crash into each other, the winner gets this, put on a good show for the fans and stuff and take it like a serious event because surely someone before that race did say, you know, don't drive around backwards if you get taken out or things like that. Because it would just
That's quite key, especially when you get sponsors involved as well. You know, it's as you say, it's how you portray the event. If it's just you and your mates in a open lobby on F1 2019, then yeah, go crazy. You know, I definitely do, but it's different when you're pitching it as a replacement for events that should have been happening in real life.
Yeah, and that's not, you know, no one has ever said don't mess around on games. We've seen on Twitch, you know, Charles Leclerc and all those boys, Albon, Russell, they're all, you know, playing truck simulator games and all sorts.
Yeah.
It's awesome to see them messing about because that's the platform in which they are delivering that content. But we're at, you know, it just takes a little bit of common sense to know that if it's an IndyCar series that they're using to replace that, you know, for this current worldwide situation going on, you just don't do that. And I think with the fact that it's been complete almost radio silence from Pagano since, that he's clearly just waiting for this all to blow over because he has no idea what to say on his socials, or maybe he doesn't care. I don't know. I don't know the bloke, but it is a weird situation, and I'm sure lots of people in the comments are firing in. But let's move on from IndyCar Challenge. As much as you know, we look at the negatives, but I think as a whole, the whole spectacle and the fact that, you know, the rounds that they'd had previously and most of that race was amazing, and they were pretty much setting the bar, you'd have to say.
Yeah, I mean, they've always been right up there in terms of the platforms that are available. I've tended myself to steer away from, or I haven't done a lot of sim racing in general before lockdown started, because I did a lot of sim for F1 teams, and that kind of satisfied my need for simulation. And also my brother was quicker than me whenever I tried. So,
so you stopped that immediately.
Yeah, I was like, not for me. No. Yeah. But I've started dabbling in more and more of them. So, yeah.
Yeah, now something that probably people are wondering in terms of, you know, you've had experience in lots of simulators. What's the difference between, you know, a fully fledged simulator for a racing team and, say, iRacing? Because I think that's the one that comes to my mind as probably the closest in terms of simulation, and that's exactly what they try and achieve. What would be the two, like the differences between those, if you can answer that?
I think iRacing is difficult because they're quite different products in a way, if you can call them products. I mean, iRacing is clearly a product, but an F1 simulator is evolving and changing all the time. Updates are going into it constantly to try and fit whatever has happened on track most recently. The biggest difference is probably, for me, steering feel is something that, and that might be equipment based as well. So I'm not a computer guy, so I don't really know how much of a limitation
none of
it
us
is.
Are.
Yeah, well, but I am told by other people who do this more full time that sort of makes sense. Steering feel is something that's really impressive in Formula One simulators for me. It's something that I think really well correlates really well. You know, you can't get the G-force, but the weight of the steering, the way it reacts to the grip changes, the front starting to slide, snaps of oversteer, that kind of thing is quite impressive. And it's something that generally sim racing products that are available to the general public is not really quite as good at. But, you know, things like the track modeling is really impressive in iRacing. I think that's, you know, bang up to standard. Some of them are excellent. And car models, I've driven quite a few cars in iRacing that are cars I've also driven in real life, and they're pretty darn good. You know, there's a little bit of a mixed bag. Some are better than others, but the best of them are really getting quite close now. So it's certainly representative.
Nice, cool insight. I think iRacing are going to have to sponsor this podcast soon because they're the amount of shout-outs we've given it.
Yeah, I'll wait for the paycheck in the post.
And finally, we have a question, and the most important question, from Jake_W for you, Jack. What's your favourite dinosaur?
I mean, it's a question that's been asked so many times, and yet no matter how many times I answer it, I always struggle to, you know, it's a question that keeps me up at night. I mean, there's the classics, you know, I mean, T-Rex, such an obvious choice, but I mean, he's obvious for a reason, guys. He is the big daddy. And then
the
you
big
have
daddy.
The more obscure choices, but I don't know. What about you guys? I've answered this question so many times. I feel like I'm going to turn it around. Matt and Tommy?
I think a Stegosaurus is quite cool.
Yeah, Stegosaurus actually a few editions ago of this question. That was my answer, and you know, it's one of my favourites. Yeah.
Boom!
It's one of my favourites as well. But I'd go for the Diplodocus or Diplodocus if
ooh,
that's the way you choose to live your life.
Everyone's now frantically trying to spell Diplodocus as they look. I go onto Google to find out what that is.
The really docile one, kind of Kimi Räikkönen in dinosaur form.
Okay.
Nice.
What a description that is. Tommy, do you have any other sort of points or questions you want to cover in this podcast? I think we've done quite a lot of the stuff that's happened recently.
Yeah, I think we've done anything. It's really good to have you on, Jack, because obviously we could quite easily, me and Matt, carry on with all these questions. But the fact that you have, like you say, driven a lot of these cars in real life, you're a lot more inclined to answer them instead of me, who has driven five laps of iRacing.
You're going to get into the 1 minute ones. I believe in you, Tommy.
Oh, thank you.
No, the track's changed now, Tommy. There's no point.
The dream is over.
Different track now. I mean, you say that. I mean, you know, 2/3 of this call have driven a 2012 F1 car. I'm just saying.
Wow.
Yeah, it's true. Who's the odd one out?
Oh, let's guess. I'm sorry, Tommy. I love you. One day we'll get that opportunity.
Have you actually managed to get through a podcast without bringing that up yet, Matt?
Look, that's probably the first time since we filmed the F1 car thing about 3 years ago where I've brought it up on my own accord. And yet everyone goes, oh, you talk about the F1 car all the time. But hey, there you go. You've got to bring it up sometimes.
Not that you're triggered or anything.
Not triggered, no, literally. Can you tell? I was on that within about 0.2 of a second. I was on you there, Jack. But also,
awesome. Still the fact that you drove it before I did, whilst I was a Renault Junior driver.
That was amazing, wasn't it?
That was fun. I think I'm gonna take that to the grave with me.
I think you came into the office, didn't you, when I'd done it and you
genuinely
you
like I saw the footage come out and I was at Renault on the day and I was like, guys, wait, what?
I'm a secret development driver this whole time.
Yeah.
Have you driven the Williams yet, Jack?
I've sat in it. Does that count?
Okay. No. Maybe I can drive that before you, and then.
We'll send an email Williams way. See what they say.
Yeah. You know. Maybe you know. FP1 slot might open up. You never know.
Oh my God! Imagine
if I get into the 1 minute ones on iRacing,
Yeah, 1 minute one gets you your license points.
We've already said how close iRacing is to the real thing. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
As soon as you get to your Class A safety rating on iRacing, that's all you need.
Hell yeah!
Safe pair of hands. Yeah.
Right. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening or watching wherever you are. Jack, thank you for coming on this podcast and spending some time with us. It's been a pleasure to have you back after all this time.
Anytime.
Literally anytime.
Yes, please. And, I'm so bored.
And Tommy, of course, you know, you're my partner in crime. So thank you, Tommy.
We can do the wave goodbye and all look in the direct. Jack needs to look up. I need to look right and you need to look left.
Okay, I'm going to look left then. All right. Okay, here we go. Ready? Everybody wave.
Everyone wave.
Let's go. Bye.
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 And bye everybody listening and watching. But also bye, Jack and Tommy. Bye.
Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.